Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to talk with my granddaughter, who lived most of her life in Todmorden, but then decided when she went to university to take a degree in fine art, followed by a teaching degree, she decided to take a year out, and off she went travelling. She went with two friends, but I'll let her tell you all about it.
Hi, I'm Grace. So I went travelling with my two friends, Jordan and Eleanor. We went around Europe initially when I was 19, and we went for about 6 weeks in total. Anyway, then I went and got a normal job, which I found pretty boring, just a typical office job. So I thought, I really fancy travelling again, what can I do? So I used to be in a lot of customer service way back when. When I then thought, well, why not do it in the sky? I'll do customer service in the sky while meeting new people and travelling around.
So when you went and applied to go for to be an air hostess, how long was your training?
My training in total was 6 weeks. It was a very intense 6 weeks with lots of different aspects to it. There were a lot of fire training, safety training, and basically just securing the cabin.
I think you had to do something in the water, didn't you? Have to do some swimming or something?
Yeah, so the reason we had to do swimming training was purely in case there was a crash landing to the sea. So what we did was we just had to make sure that we're strong swimmers enough to be able to carry people out of a plane and swim with them in a certain way to get them onto a safety raft. That was probably my favourite part of the training, actually.
Gosh, so how long was training then?
So the swimming training, that was actually only a day. So it was just like an assessment day where you just basically tested if you can swim, how well you can swim, and obviously if you can get them people safely to a safe spot.
Right, so the training was quite a long time, wasn't it, all in all?
Yeah, all in all, it was probably about 6 weeks with the water training.
Right.
But yeah, like I say, it was very intense. 1 or 2 weeks within that training period was the worst. It was called SEP week, which is just your security procedures. So if there was ever a fire on board, if there was ever attack or any kind of disturbance, how you'd basically deal and manage with that.
Right. I think you had a bit of an unfortunate happening, didn't you?
I were on a flight to Belgium. I went to Belgium, and then on our way back, we got everyone boarded. There were about 40 passengers in total on the plane. And when we got on the plane, we were going down the runway doing our safety demos, and the full back of the plane just filled with smoke. So we went straight into our safety procedures, everything that we learnt in training. So what you had to do is find the source initially. If you can't find the source, how do you address it? So anyway, we hadn't actually taken off of the runway just yet. So we managed to turn around and get back onto stand and get all the passengers off safely. Then the engineers came on board, assessed the situation. They could absolutely smell the smoke as well, see the smoke. Come on with all these little fancy machines. And anyway, we had to go back into a hotel, but the scary thing were the engineers, they got onto the plane, they did all the work, but they couldn't find a source. So when we got back in the morning, we had to fly again on the exact same plane, not knowing what the problem was. Obviously, it was all okay. They wouldn't let us board, safety's first and all that, but it was a bit daunting at the time.
Gosh, that sounds as if it was a scary experience. Didn't you tell me that you were the one who had to tell the pilot? Is that right?
Yeah, so it was me initially who saw it, as well as a cabin crew member behind me. And me and him, we both basically went down to the back and tried to see if it was the ovens initially, just to make sure it wasn't smoking from the ovens. But nothing was on at this point in time, because you're not really allowed to turn anything on until you're actually in the air. So that's the reason why we turned around. But yeah, I did have to speak to the pilot. But what I did is spoke to the pilot and it's called an SCCM, which is a senior manager, senior cabin crew manager on board. So we spoke to her as well as the pilots. So we all basically just worked as a really big team. I managed to sort the situation out, thankfully.
Oh, gosh, that sounds a bit scary.
It was a little bit.
Right, so the length of your flights, some of them I think were quite long, weren't they?
I had a lot of Europe flights, which were about anything between, a Manchester flight took 29 minutes from Heathrow. So when you actually when you actually go into the air, you have to whip out all the food as quick as possible, and then they've actually got to eat it in half an hour, and you've got to clean it all away. I don't know how it was possible, but we managed. And then the longest flight was actually my actual final flight, the last flight I'd ever actually went on being cabin crew, and that was to Japan, and it was 15 hours in total. But my dad came on that with me, so it broke up the flight a little bit, which was good.
Ooh, you took your sister with you at Wonderland, didn't you?
I did. I took my sister to New York and also the Maldives.
Oh, wow.
I know. Can't complain.
Can you just explain what happened in the Maldives? Because that sounds exciting.
The Maldives were good. I think it was about, from the top of my head, about an 11-hour flight in total. My sister managed to get a club seat, which is business. So yeah, she was taken care of, very comfy on the flight in the lie down bed and whatnot. She was very well rested, unlike some. But yeah, we got to the Maldives, and as soon as you get there, you get a water taxi to the hotel, because obviously you've got all these little islands dotted around. So it was like a little boat that took us there. We saw some dolphins on the way home, not the way there. But the resort was absolutely gorgeous. It was just a typical sandy beach, all-inclusive resort. It was absolutely stunning.
Wow, that sounds great. But didn't she have a problem at one time when she flew with you, didn't she? Did you get a sea or something?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So sometimes how it works, when you do it on staff travel, it's still expensive, but it is also discounted. The reason it's discounted is because the seats are never guaranteed. So if there's a spare seat, the Klingon, as you call them, so your staff travel, whoever comes with you, they get dedicated a seat, whatever's spare. If there isn't any spare, they sit on a jump seat, and the jump seats aren't at all comfy. They're in the middle of the galley, which is always very busy, full of crew doing the food and drinks and whatnot. But on, I'm pretty sure it was New York, this one. She went to New York and she had to sit on the jump seat for about 7 hours. She wasn't best pleased.
So that's at the back of the plane, is it?
Well, so you've got jump seats in every galley, pretty much. Well, near every door. So where the doors are, the galleys usually are, and then there's sometimes some spare doors in between. But Chloe, my sister, she was sat in the middle galley, so in, just behind business. So she was looking at all the nice seats thinking, I wish.
And they were all taken, were they?
They were all taken, yeah. So she was on that one.
Oh, right. And I understand you went to Dubai at some point. Was it Dubai?
Been to Dubai twice. So I went with my boyfriend once, which was really, really good fun. His best friend actually lives out there. So we went to go and see him, and he had a really, really nice car. But apparently there's a rule out there that you'd never get stopped unless you're doing something stupid on the road. Obviously, my boyfriend's friend doesn't do this, but he did actually say to us, a lot of the people on the roads are usually very drunk because you don't get pulled. It's quite scary to drive around. But the taxis are very cheap, which is always a plus.
Right.
About 50p a taxi.
Right, so the time you went on your own, you went off with some of the other people in the crew?
So when I went on my own, I went with the crew, but when you're on a plane for so many hours, you tend to just get used to it and become best friends really quickly. So we were all lounging by the pool, and we thought, oh, what can we do? We've got a spare afternoon. So we went on TripAdvisor, but we found a safari tour. Not like a typical animal safari, it was a desert safari. So you got onto these, you went in like a special sand car, the kind of thing, where it's like a 4x4 car and you drive around the dunes and it's absolutely gorgeous to watch. So we did that, and it was great. You just think that you're going to topple over and just end up on the roof somewhere. But at the end of the destination, you get to do sandboarding, which is like snowboarding but on the sand, and it was such a good laugh. So you can go either on your knees or on your feet, and I thought, I'll go on my feet, and I managed to get to probably about 3/4 of the way down the sand dune before falling off. It was good fun. And I rode a camel. Didn't like that though.
You didn't like the camel?
No, I didn't like that. I thought it was
spit
me.
At you?
No, it was just me, and I felt really mean for it.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, what was the least favourite place that you actually visited?
My least favourite?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. There's a There's a couple. I'd say one of them would be Brussels, just purely because of the accident with the plane and the fire and fumes event. But not exactly the place. It was just more the experience. I feel like it just got me a little bit. But my worst place would probably Vancouver.
You didn't like Vancouver,
No, I hated Vancouver. I was actually talking to you about it the other day. But it's a 14-hour flight to go somewhere absolutely freezing, probably colder than the UK, and it looks exactly like Manchester. I thought, what is the point?
But Manchester doesn't have those big totem poles, does it?
Yeah, well...
Did you see those?
Yeah, but it's just not worth it. 14 hours, it's not worth it in my eyes.
Oh, well, there we go. you had layover times, and that was something I don't understand what that means.
So your layover time, so usually if it's a short-haul flight, you get a minimum of 12 hours in the place. So to make sure the crew is well-rested enough to be able to fly and fly safely, you have to have a minimum amount of time in a specific area. So if it's short-haul, like Europe, depending on how long the flight is, it can either be a there and back, or if you are staying over, you have to have a certain amount of time to just come down from it all. So yeah, a minimum of 12 hours, but it could actually go up to like a 2-day trip, so about 36 hours, which there is, I absolutely love them. It's like a mini holiday. But yeah, long haul can be between 3 to 5 days, depending again on how long the trip is.
Okay, so would you say there are any perks for cabin crew?
Well, absolutely, yeah, you get to travel the world, meet loads of new people and loads of new friends all around the world. Get to take your family on some amazing lifetime holidays. And yeah, I loved it that much that I've actually reapplied and I managed to get back in.
You've reapplied simply because you're going to go and live now in New York for a while, isn't that right?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to, well, so I've reapplied for British Airways just purely because I miss the travel. And yeah, I'd absolutely love to get back into it, but that's at the end of this year. And I am actually moving to New York with my partner as well. But again, just I can't stop travelling. Once you start, you can't stop.
And you've seen some photographs, I think, of your new apartment. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got an apartment in Aboken. It's very expensive for what it is, but it's a... Well, it's a one-bedroom apartment, so you've got one bed, obviously your living room, bathroom and kitchen. But outside, well, it's on the Hudson River, and as soon as you go outside, you've got these electric bikes that just, you can just basically pay. I think it's 50p every minute, I think, or so, something like that. It's quite expensive, but over the long term, it's worth it. It's better than just buying an actual bike, I think, right. Because... It's quite expensive over there.
And you're in New Jersey, is that right?
Yes, and Hoboken's just above New Jersey. Right. It's still on the Hudson River, so as you look at the apartment, you've got the Hudson and the New York skyline. But I'd probably say Hoboken's maybe about a 10-minute walk to the centre of New Jersey, roughly, 10 or 15 minutes.
Right. So it's going to be really, really different. And you've managed to get yourself a job before you get there. I think that's you've done really well.
Thank you. I think, yeah it's... Yeah, it's a good thing that I managed to get a job because a lot of people, they try for months and months and can't find one. So it's been an absolute blessing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait. I am excited. I'm going to miss my family to bits, but I'll be back every other month.
Yeah, but I think that we might be coming to see you.
I know. Well, at least you get a holiday out of it.
Then let's hope so. Anyway, well, thanks ever so much, Jalyn. And
I hope
people find that the experience was worth it for you.
Well, thank you. It absolutely was worth it for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.